Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of each and every heart be acceptable unto you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. So for anyone who was here last week, you will hopefully recall, we had before us Jesus' parable of a tax collector, and through him and his Pharisee sidekick, we allowed a story of God's grace to wash over us. Today we have not just a tax collector, but the tax collector. The tax collector above all tax collectors. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. The most feared, the most despised, the most sinful. While short in stature, he would have been tall on power, at least when it came to collecting money from the Jews or the Romans. His name, Zacchaeus, means righteous, which was nothing short of an oxymoron. As far as the general Jewish community was concerned, he was as far from righteous as you could get. He was a sinner through and through. He cheated, he lied, he worked for the Romans, which meant he was a traitor. I mean, think of the worst sort of corrupt public figure you can think of at the moment, and you'll understand the kind of person we're talking about here. I don't know what you're all thinking of. On this day, as Jesus is making his way towards Jericho, Zacchaeus, desperate to catch a glimpse of this now famous rabbi, climbs in a rather undignified manner up a tree. Just think about that for a minute. When was the last time you climbed a tree? I did it lots when I was a kid. Anyone else climb trees when they were little? Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that if I tried to do so now, it would not be a pretty sight and would end up in some kind of broken joint. But up the tree Zacchaeus goes, and there he waits for the Lord to pass by. For the most part, this is a story best saved for Sundays when we are talking about repentance or conversion. It's biblical gold when trying to show how in the presence of Jesus the Christ, we might experience a change of heart so profound that our entire lives have changed. These kind of experiences don't happen very often. I suspect for some they never do. Those who do encounter a life-changing interaction with God often call it the moment they were born again. Others say it was a mountaintop experience. For Zacchaeus, well, I guess it happened perched on the branch of a sycamore tree. Or perhaps, more to the point, the moment he fell out of it. Now, anyone who's going to fact-check your Bibles, which I respect, by the way, you'll discover it does not say Zacchaeus fell out of the tree. But it is what I like to imagine. As Jesus comes closer, Zacchaeus' heart pounds harder. Something stirs within him. And when Jesus stops at the bottom of the tree and calls Zacchaeus down, I suspect he's as shocked as everyone is. So shocked that I imagine him losing hold of his branch and crashing to the ground, landing rather unceremoniously at Jesus' feet. Jesus leans over and says, "I'm going to your house for tea. I'm going to your house for tea." What happens next is a shift in relationship. And it's that power of relationship that has been pulling at my heart all week. I know this isn't a particularly great All Saints story. I mean, I suppose you could argue that since Zacchaeus is an important part of our faith ancestry, he is one of the saints we are called to honor today. There's also a slight issue when it comes to how this story has been translated and presented to the world for generations. A suggestion that Zacchaeus wasn't actually as sinful as he was assumed to be by the crowds. That his promise of giving half his money away and repaying anyone who had been defrauded wasn't a promise regarding future actions, but is actually what he had been doing all along, just nobody knew it. But for most of us here at Calvary, All Saints Day isn't so much about those biblical characters who live and move with within our faith story, but about these people, about these faces we miss seeing, the voices of the people we long to hear, husbands, wives, parents, children, siblings, friends. These are the saints who call to us today. I look at these faces, I ponder the loves you hold in your hearts, and I think of all the stories you carry, the different memories each one of us brings to this moment. So many memories, all different, all varied, all imperfect, but real. And I think, what in the world does Zacchaeus and his ridiculous tree have to do with this day? This special and powerful day. And then I find myself wondering, maybe the importance of what we do here isn't only about giving space to our grief. Now, don't get me wrong. Giving our grief space and grace is really important, like the most important part of the sacrament. At this table, we are invited to openly and honestly lay our deep feelings of grief and loss at the foot of this cross. It's hard to do. For some of us, that grief is still raw. I know that. But it's important. Because something happens, something amazing happens when we do it. In naming our grief, in giving it space, in allowing grace to move, we also honor how these people are not lost to us. We are still in relationship with them. Joe Kay wrote that All Saints reminds us of an overriding truth that is at the core of so many of our religious and cultural traditions. Death cannot separate us from love. Love is just stronger than that. It is what binds us together. It is what empowers that great cloud of witnesses to stay connected to us in ways that guide and influence our everyday living. Those saints like Mary, Peter, Joanna, even Zacchaeus. And love is what keeps us bound to all the people that you brought with you today. See, this story is a great repentance story for sure. Even if it's more about repentance of the judgmental crowd rather than the tax collector. But if we're going to use it as it has been so many times, to say that in order to know God's grace and obtain some kind of VIP admittance line to heaven, one must repent and be perfect first. Well, no offense, but that kind of cuts most of us off. Me too. Most of the people I know and love are a little bit saint, a little bit sinner, if you know what I mean. I like to think this story is more about how being in relationship with God changes us, not God's perception of us. That never changes. This holy day, one that has come to mean so much to us here at Calvary, reminds us of what David Loos wrote, that death isn't about destruction or separation. It's a moment of holy transformation that takes us even deeper into life. We trade our heartbeat for a deeper place within the heart of God who is love, a heart that remains active and involved in our world and in our lives. Oh, I love that. Read this with me. We trade our heartbeat for a deeper place within the heart of God. I mean, I sure wish it didn't hurt so much. That feeling of grief, man, it's heavy. And yet I am thankful for these moments when I'm able to trust that this table and what it represents is true. And I say moments there intentionally because I falter too. I wonder about all the pain I see, all the sorrow that I know is held within you, the people of God, the unfairness of what some have experienced. I spend a lot of time asking God questions, and I'm sure it annoys God to know it. But one way or another, no matter how many questions I ask or doubts I give voice to, I am always drawn back to this meal. This bread of life, this cup of blessing. They point us to the same life-altering relationship that Jesus offered to each one of his disciples that he gifted to Zacchaeus way up in that tree. You see, Jesus saw Zacchaeus for what he was, a child of Abraham, nothing more, nothing less. And 2,000 years after he fell out of that tree, his story says to us, these saints of ours, they were colorful and varied. They had good days and bad days. They made good choices and some not so good choices. But every single one of them taught us something of value. Every single one showed our hearts what it means to love and be loved. Every single one was a child of Abraham, sons and daughters of the Holy One, who are alive today, held within the deeper heart of God. And here at this table, in this communion of all saints, they join us. Nothing can keep them away. Nothing can keep this love and grace of God from flowing to us in this moment. Not our faults, not other people's opinions of us, not even death can separate us from this relationship. Through God, who is love, we are bound to them and them to us, and all of us to God in a relationship that is unbreakable forever. That is the hope we've been given in Jesus. This is the life we are called to embrace. This is the truth we honor and celebrate today. May God bless you, my friends, those who you carry with you in your hearts and minds today. And may we all take a moment, breathe deeply, as we prepare to feast at God's table.